There's three basic truths that all Christians should know, and they center around the word possible. And it's interesting, the word possible is not used in the Old Testament, only in the New Testament. And so when you get to looking at the word possible in the New Testament, what you find is that it only relates to three people. It'll talk about God, and then it talks about us, the believers, and then it talks about Jesus Christ. Okay? And so that word possible is tied into that. And so we're going to take that word possible tonight and just deal with that. We're going to start off with that tonight, okay? And so as I get into this, get your Bible, and what we'll do is we'll start off in Matthew. Once you turn, if you would, please just turn to Matthew chapter 19. And we'll read a verse and go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Ask him to bless this preaching of his word, and we'll get into it. Hope I can encourage you also. We live in some changing times, don't we? Boy, they're changing. Woo, in a hurry. But that's all right. You see, God knows all about it, doesn't he? And that's a good thing. You see that? We find that we get stressed at times, don't we? Because of stuff's happening. But, you know, we ought to get happy about it, because at least you got enough sense to know that it's happening. There are a lot of people around you that don't know it's happening. You know that? And so we'll deal with that some, too, before the night's over with. All right, are you there? Matthew 19, let's read verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Let's pray. The Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you for tonight. And Lord, we just pray for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit upon this service. And now in Jesus' name, we just thank you for what you're going to do. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. You know, it's a good thing. Let's talk about God. Point one, God. Now, you know, we've got to understand the import of all this stuff. He says, when we look at the verse here, it said, Jesus beheld them. He was looking at them. And then he said, with men, this is impossible. You know something? Have you ever thought about the things that's absolutely impossible for us? Now listen. How would you like to fall out of an airplane at about 26,000 feet, and fall 26,000 feet, hit the side of a mountain, go through a snowbank, get up and walk off? Now you'd say, most people would say, well, now listen, if he fell out of that airplane 26,000 feet, he's dead. Well, but if God wants you to stay alive, something else is going to happen, isn't it right? Well, you know, during the Second World War, that happened twice. Men got shot out of the airplane, and one guy was 26,000 feet, fell, landed on the side of a mountain in the snow, rolled around in the snow, slid to a stop, got up, brushed himself off, and said he was hungry, and walked off. You know something? Now, normally we would say, that's impossible. But you see, with men, we've got to understand something. You and I might walk out of this place tonight. I might look at my oldest sister. My oldest sister, she's up in her 70s, got 12 kids, only two of them by the same guy. The sister's under her. She turned queer back in the 60s. She's crazy as a bat. And now listen, and somebody might say, well, what about them getting saved? Man, they're lost cause. Well, with men, they are a lost cause. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. God saved me, and God saved you. Amen. So it's possible. So you know something? When I get to looking at that and I realize, I might look at something and say, this is a hopeless cause. And granted, with men it is. But with God, all things are possible. I want you, everybody, to say that. Say, all things are possible. Say it. All things are possible. That's right. With God, everything's possible. So that means this. I want you to think about the lowest, rottenest, nastiest scoundrel you know. And you look at him, whether it be your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your mother-in-law, whatever it is. And you look at that person and you say, but they never get saved. Well, as far as you're concerned, they won't. But with God, all things are possible. You see, ladies and gentlemen, one of our biggest problems today, what I'm running into in the realm of Christianity, is this, especially in Baptist churches. We've got to the point where we think God's got his hands tied about something. But we got to understand something. God's in charge of all of this. Amen. God's in charge of it. I mean, we're all created beings. We're dirt balls, and God breathed the breath of life into us. And that's it. So, you know, see, when I get to looking at this, he said, with men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So, you know something? When you get up and leave this place, if you want to have a revival, why don't you start praying and ask God to challenge you to do something? I mean, why live the norm? Why not say, God, put somebody on my heart? God, let me go talk to somebody. Lord, do something. Listen, I got an old man in my church recently died, and he couldn't get out and go nowhere, do nothing. He called me one day. He said, Dr. Fowler. I said, what, bud? What's the problem? He said, hang on for a minute. He said, he got his breath. He said, whoa, glory to God. I said, you all right? He said, glory to God. He said, I just want you to know something. He said, I come to the conclusion that God, everything was possible with God. I told God I can't get out. I can't walk. Can't get off my front porch. He said, so I went out. I sat down on my front porch and said, God, I can't go to them, so you bring them to me. And his house is right across the street from the morgue. And so he's sitting over there on the front porch. This guy pulls up, gets out of his car. Hi there. How you doing? He said, pretty good. What's your name? He told him. He said, come here. Let me talk to you. And that guy came up there and said, what do you want to talk about? He said, heaven and hell. Jesus Christ, getting saved, dying, going to hell, dying, going to heaven. Whatever. And the guy said, I really need somebody to talk to me about that. And sit down and they had a conversation. One after another, until Jack Smith died. He said on that front porch, he said, God, I can't go to them. You bring them to me. Guess what God did? Amen. God brought them to him. Amen. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's an amazing thing. Turn to Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Now, Matthew and Mark are similar. They're part of the synoptic gospels. But let me just enjoy you for a few moments. And let's walk together through some of this and talk about God and then talk about us. And in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, look what we find here. Now listen, we're just going to use the first part of this because we're going to get back to the rest of it later on. In verse 36, he said, but Father, all things are possible unto thee. Now listen, I'm going to come back to this in a few moments. And we're going to read some more of that. But I want you to know, Jesus Christ, here he is facing the cross, and he said, all things are possible unto thee. Now, folks, listen. You and I might believe something in principle, but until we believe it in practice, it's worthless. Amen. You know that? It's just worthless to us. That's right. I mean, my goodness. When it becomes practice, things change. Everything changes for you. You know that? And see what we're going to find here. The Lord Jesus Christ, boy, he knew something about God the Father, didn't he? All things are possible with him. Now, you know something? When you and I get to the point where you and I truly believe that all things is possible with God, you know what? You'll be able to walk out and face life. You'll be able to face life like you've never faced life before. Because everything's possible with God. And you're God's. I'm going to show you something here in a minute about that. And so it leaves us in a spot, you see, of saying, well, people say, that cannot happen. Well, with God, all things are possible. People say, well, that's just never going to work. Well, now, wait a minute. With God, all things are possible. I had a friend eat up with cancer. Doctors walked in, walked out, then talked to the family a little bit, walked back in, told him, said, listen, if you're alive this time next month, this doctor's stupid. But he was stupid in a good way. He told that guy, he said, listen, he said, if you're alive this time next month, I'll pay your medical bill. That guy looked at me and he said, listen, he said, I got to stay alive till after this date next month now. But you know something? That guy's still alive. And that was 7 years ago. Can't find any cancer in that guy whatsoever. None. Doctors, 5, 6 doctors said, you're dead. You're a dead man. That's all there is to it. Make sure your house is in order. All things are possible with God. You get it?
Amen.
You see, folks, it's extremely important. Turn to Luke 18 real quick. Luke 18, verse 21. And we'll start in verse 21, work our way down to verse 27. Impossible with men, possible with God. You see, these three basic truths that we really need to know today is extremely important. Start in verse 21. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth. Now, this is the rich young ruler, okay? And said, now, when Jesus heard these sayings, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 26. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Praise the Lord for that. Isn't that right? You know something, you can't save yourself. Listen, you can go out and get baptized so many times in the creek, you know, the tadpole's my name. That is just be a wet sinner. You know that? You can work your fingers to the bone. The only thing you're going to have is bony fingers. You know that? God does the saving.
Amen.
Listen, you can pray the sinner's prayer until you dream about it, it causes nightmares. God does the saving. You know that? You see, it's impossible for you to save yourself. God does the saving. Now, listen. You know, if God wants to keep somebody alive, God can do it. Isn't that right? Now, let me tell you something. I've been blown up, shot up, shipwrecked, plane crashed, surgical sponges sewed up inside of me, my back broke, my leg shot out from underneath me, and I'm standing here preaching and having a good time. Now, evidently, God had something for me to do, didn't he? You see, ladies and gentlemen, these things are impossible with men, but they are possible with God. Isn't that good?
Amen.
All right, let's move on. Point number two. Let's talk about the believers. Okay? Now, we're going to get down and set this in your lap in a moment. But the believers, go back to Matthew chapter 24. Let's talk about something here that's pretty devastating. In Matthew chapter 24, in making reference to the believers, Matthew 24 verses 23 and 24, let's look at these. Matthew 24 verse 23 and 24. It says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Now, I want you to notice something. For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, now look at this, that if it were possible, now I want everybody to say that. Say, if it were possible, say it. If it were possible. In other words, it's not possible. Isn't that right? Now look at this. If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, ladies and gentlemen, now imagine this. I want you to think about something for a second. I want you to think about the magnitude of this. Now, if you're sitting here tonight and you're saved, and you ain't you and your blesser's broke, there's something terribly wrong with you. You got to understand that. Let's just, I don't know about you, but I've been into places where I've seen millions of people all at once. Whether they were Muslims or Hindus or whatever. And you know something? All of them dying going to hell. Every one of them. Now, but on top of that now, I want you to get the import of this. You with me? Raise your hand if you're with me. I want to make sure y'all are awake. Raise your hand. Come on. Come on. Participate. All right? Because if you ain't going to participate, I ain't going to participate. Now listen. Do you understand? Let's read the verse one more time. Let's get the import of this before we get out of here tonight. It says, verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You know something? When I get to thinking about that, do you understand? You see, your heavenly Father will discipline you if you sin. Isn't that right? We know that. Just read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, 7, and 8. I mean, that's quite clear. Your heavenly Father will discipline you. But you know, our heavenly Father will do His parental duty also in protecting us.
Amen.
And you see, for us, for Him to allow you to be deceived by the culture, that's not good parenting, is it? No.
That's right.
Now, you see, listen to me. When you get to looking at this souped up hyper contemporary church movement, man, it's all founded on emotion.
Right.
It's founded upon the singing, the hooping, the hollering, the carrying on. It's founded upon the miracles. It's founded upon the healings. It's founded upon Joel Osteen. Sorry, didn't mean to cuss. But now listen to me. Do you understand something? When you look at that crowd that's following that and Joyce Meyer, do you understand you're looking at people that's deceived?
That's right.
Do you realize you're looking at lost people that's deceived? You see, ladies and gentlemen, but look at the verse, if it were possible. Do you understand if you're sitting here and saved tonight, that crowd of deceivers, it's impossible for them to completely deceive you? It's impossible for them to do that. Your heavenly Father is not going to allow that. It's going to break down somewhere. I really appreciate what an elderly lady said, grandma that was raising a couple of grandkids. She, a preacher friend of mine, went over and talked to her and about the grandkids, and he was all stirred up. Grandma, boy, she knew the word of God. She just sat there as casual as anything and said, preacher, tell you what, don't worry about it. He said, don't worry about it. She said, no. And she opened up her Bible. She read this. She said, now listen. She said, what this is going to do is going to show me which one of those grandkids is really saved. Because the ones that's really saved, God's not going to allow them to get into that mess. And the ones that aren't saved will get into that mess, and I'm going to have to pray them out of it. She said, so don't worry about it. God's going to show me something through all this. You know something, folks? Turn to Mark chapter 13 real quick. Mark chapter 13. We get over here, Mark 13 and verse 21, 22, 23. We find a similar passage of Scripture, but it's stated just a little bit different. Now watch this, starting verse 21. And then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Now listen, you see, the wording changes some here. That word seduce, what does it mean? It means to lead away into error. So in other words, when, boy, somebody comes along and here's a saved person, they try to suck this saved person into this. They try to lead them away. And how are they going to do it? Well, they do it with the signs and the wonders, and they begin to try to persuade them and lead them away. But boy, just about the time they start to walk away, oh, all the bells in your soul go off saying, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this. And you know something? You see, there's got to be a means to the action. Isn't that right? What's the means that's used? Now, folks, listen to me. You see, in the last days, there's going to be an explosion of religion and an oppression of truth. Okay? And what do we find here? We're talking about religious acts here of power. Isn't that right? Religious acts of power, religious acts of unusual ability, religious acts of just tremendous things. And so, boy, we got it here and we look at it and we say, my goodness, what about that? But it says, if it were possible. You see, you've got to understand something. Satan walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We've got to understand something. We do have an enemy. And that enemy is going to do all he can to seduce us in every way he can. That word seduce means to lead away into error. And so as we begin to look and see what's happening around us, you know something? We had better, boy, find an anchor for our soul and hang on to it. Isn't it amazing? The explosion of so-called Bibles that's taken place over the past 30 years. Well, you know, it's just like that the NIV, non-inspired version. Now, isn't it amazing? A lady called me and she said, I read your article in the paper. She said, would you please tell me the difference between the King James Bible and that NIV? I said, sure. I'll do that real quick. I told the lady, I said, listen. I said, if you were going to have something really, really important done to your body, and you had a staff of doctors over here that was really, really knowledgeable and experienced, and on this side over here, you had some drunks, whoremongers, prostitutes. I said, which crowd would you pick? She said, well, I'd pick the other crowd. I said, then pick your King James Bible. Amen. Virginia Molencott was on the translation committee for the non-inspired version, and that woman's an atheistic lesbian. And then I get people, boy, they just love their non-inspired version. You've lost your mind. You like that book.
That's right.
Go burn it.
Amen.
I told a Southern Baptist preacher called me and he said, well, Southern Baptists, we're really promoting that. I said, well, I can understand that. Y'all are rotten, you stink anyway. I mean, you're not worth powder to blow you to hell. So what's the use? Now listen. You see, folks, until, let me say it like this. Psychologists have a saying, and they say this, what you tolerate, you get. What you tolerate, you get. So it amounts to this. If I tolerate all kinds of bad food and stuff, I'm going to get sick. If this pastor and the deacons of this church tolerate Sunday school teachers that drink, smoke, cuss, carry on, run around, that's what you're going to get in your Sunday school classes. If you folks in your home tolerate certain things, guess what you're going to get? We all will get what we tolerate.
Amen.
And is it extremely important for us to understand something? Christianity is dying because, man, we've lost our convictions about the Word of God.
Amen.
I got a book at home of sermons that was written by a man, and it's titled this, Revival, 1800 Logan County, Kentucky. I'm telling you what, the sermons in that thing cause your blood to run cold. I read one of them sermons, scared me to death. I thought, Lord, have mercy. Where'd that preacher come from? Now listen, folks, do we understand something? When you look at the multitude of people around you that's all wrapped up in the Pentecostalism movement, I mean, they're healing the holes in the donuts and everything else, and my goodness, they're doing everything you can think of. Listen, you got to understand something. You're looking somebody in the face that's totally deceived. Now, that's hard. That's hard. Listen, sometimes I get out of bed, I feel about as spiritual as the Aflac duck. But the fact of it is, the Word of God is still there, isn't it?
Amen.
All right. Let's move on to the third point. Let's talk about Christ, okay? Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Boy, this cool air felt good out here a while ago. Oh, I'm telling you what, over on the other side of the state, man, it's hot and humid. I called old man down the road from me. I said, "You inside, outside?" He said, "My air conditioner broke. I'm sitting outside." He said, "He's hot." He said, "It's hot." I said, "Yeah, I know it's hot." He said, "Man, it's so hot. I saw a dog chasing a cat and they're both walking." So, now listen. Let's talk about Jesus Christ for a moment. Let me show you something. And then I'm going to package it up, hand it to you, and we'll all go home, okay? So we talk about God. It said, what's impossible with man is possible with God. Then we talk about us, and we realize that our Heavenly Father is going to do a parenting job on us. And it says, if it were possible for us to be deceived. So that means it's not possible because our Heavenly Father is going to make what the devil thinks is possible impossible. Isn't that right? And so that means this, you and I can rest in some areas, you know that? But we can rejoice in some others. But now, look how this relates to Jesus Christ. Matthew 26, start in verse 37, if you would please. Matthew 26, start in verse 37. And we'll read down to verse 39. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, look what he says. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's any reason for you and I to look at this and jump up and down and shout, there it is. You know something? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, knew it was possible for God the Father to call off the whole thing. You know that? But instead of doing that, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Now, a lot of you people here know Weldon Fraser that died. Now, before Weldon Fraser died, I was sitting over at his house, and he picked up a piece of paper. He wrote on a piece of paper, this is God's will for me. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen? Now, let me help you out here, all right? You see, you're going to face a whole lot of things in life. Disease, old age, Parkinson's disease, cancer, dog bites, fleas, in-laws, the whole crowd. All right? But now listen to me. Do you understand? It's possible for God to stop the cancer, just like he did for that one guy, isn't it? It's possible for God to let you live until you're as old as Methuselah. Only a fool won't live that old. Now listen to me. It's possible for God to do all that, isn't it? But you know something? That the key to your life and mine is this. We got to understand it's possible for God to do these things. But the key to your life and mine is this. God, I know you can change this circumstance, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. You know something, folks? You see, if I could get some Christians together that'd be willing to say, all right, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, listen, you talk about being able to face whatever you get hit with in life, you can handle it when you understand that point. You can handle it when you understand, listen, I know God can change this circumstance in a heartbeat. In a moment, God can change it. But God, if you don't want to, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus Christ, by using the word possible, has just taught you and me a great lesson about life. Go to Mark chapter 14, 34, 35, and 36. Mark 14, 34, 35, and 36. Hear what he said. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Now you like that. Now go to verse 36 and let's finish it now. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Now I want you to just look at the wording. Look at the wording, please. All things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. You know what? That statement started off with a semicolon and with a colon, didn't it? One is support and the other one's summation. That punctuation is put there for a reason. Now let's look at this. There in verse 36. Take away this cup from me. Period. That's what he said. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Wow. You know, the Lord is teaching you and me a great lesson right here. See, he was fixing to die for you, for me. He was fixing to die according to the plan of God. And look what he says. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, you know something? Let me use this illustration. I knew a fellow that worked in a factory that he hated his job to the point that everybody got to hating him because he just hated the job so much. I mean, he went to work. He looked like a minus sign walking around. Everything was bad. Everything was nasty. Nothing was good. Hated everything. Well, one day he picked up his Bible and he got to reading these verses. And he read these verses, and he read these verses, and he read these verses. And on the way to work that morning, he stopped his car, got on his knees alongside the road, and simply said, God, not my will, but thine be done. He got back in his car, went to work, and after a few days, everybody started saying, what happened to him? What happened to him? Why'd he change? What happened to him? You see, previously, his life was just all about him. But boy, when he finally surrendered his life to the Lord and went to work, everything changed. And you know something? Your life will change too.
Amen.
Your life will change too. Do you know why you wrestle when it comes time to having private prayer if you do pray? You know why you wrestle with that? Because life's all about you. Do you know why many Americans today, man, struggle with trying to read the Word of God? Well, they say they're saved, sing the songs of Zion, come to the house of God, never read the Word of God. But you know, the Bible says, you know, people hunger and thirst after righteousness. Man, when I got saved, I wanted to read the Word of God. I didn't know what it was. I was crazy. Man, the first Bible I ever got was the New Testament. It started off with Matthew and ended with Revelation. Then I went and bought a complete Bible. I told the lady at the bookstore, I said, I want a Bible. So she said, you want one? She said, you want one that's got the Old Testament, New Testament? I said, I don't want nothing old. I want something new. And she said, well, do you want a complete Bible? I said, why in the world would I want part of one? And so she turned around and she pulled this King James Bible off the shelf, handed it to me. I opened it up to the front, and lo and behold, I opened up to this Deuteronomy, Leviticus. I couldn't even pronounce that stuff. I folded it up, I handed it back to her. I said, listen, I want one that's got palms in the back of it. She said, sir, it's not palms, it's psalms. It's in the middle. I said, in the middle of what? She said, it's in the middle of the Old Testament. I said, I told you I don't want an old. I want something new. I said, listen. I said, give me one like a Baptist preacher would use. She said, I'm a Baptist, and that's what my preacher uses. So I bought it. Still got it. Now listen. You see, lady, turn to Acts real quick. Acts chapter 2. So we find that with the Lord himself said, not my will, but thine be done. Boy, the Lord was wrestling with some things, wasn't he? You know something? Acts chapter 2. Let me show you something here. 23 and 24. Acts 2, 23 and 24. I'll not keep you much longer. You'll be out midnight. Anyway, Acts 2, 23, 24. It said, now watch this. It said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, watch this, having loosed the bands of death, look what it says, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Praise God, my Savior surrendered to the will of the Father. And you know something? It was totally impossible for death to hold the Son of God. How you like that? Now, isn't that good? I'm, let me tell you something. Old death could grab all they wanted to. The Lord was leaving. You know that? I mean, listen to me, folks. It was impossible for death to hold the Son of God, our Savior. Listen. Just like it was impossible for death to hold the Son of God, it's impossible for death to hold you.
Amen.
Old Jack Smith, when he died, I was up in the hospital. When he died, that doctor come walking out of there. Hey, doctor looked over at me and kind of shook his head. He said, I've watched a lot of people die, but I ain't never seen anybody die laughing. I said, well, I said, if you get saved, accept Christ, get born again. I said, I want you to know something. I said, you can go out like that. Old Jack Smith said, listen. He said, I'm going out like I come in. He said, I come into this thing laughing and carrying on. I'm going out the same way. I want to tell you something, folks. Why not?
Amen.
You know something? Death can't hold you either. Don't worry about it. Death's got slippy hands. It can't hold you. How do you like that? You're going to die. But death can't hold you. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
How do you like that?
Amen.
All right? So when you come to my funeral, you can just come, knock on the casket. Listen, there ain't going to be no lights on. There ain't going to be nobody at home. You know that? I'm gone. Go to chapter 4 real quick. Verse 26, 27, 28. Acts 4, 26, 27, 28. The answer, watch this. Acts 4, 26, 27, and 28. Said, the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Look, verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Wow. You know something? It was God's will, wasn't it?
Amen.
It was God's will. You know something? So when I look at Acts chapter 4, and then I go up into the Gospels, and Jesus is talking about, Lord, take this cup from me. Lord, stop this thing right here. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When I look at Acts chapter 4, you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing the Son of God surrender to the will of God the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what all of us need to do.
Amen. Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
Stop playing church.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. You listening? Raise your hand if you're listening. All right, a few of you are asleep. Anyway, I got to watch saying that because a friend of mine, he went to church. He said, wake that woman up back there. Her husband hollered, you put her to sleep, you wake her up. And now listen. There's a Korean church out in San Francisco, believe it or not. And a couple of elderly ladies decided that they were going to have prayer meeting at 5 o'clock in the morning. So they went and told the preacher. They said, "Preacher, why don't you start announcing that you'll open the church up at 5 o'clock in the morning so we can all gather around here and pray before we go to work?" So he said, "Ain't nobody going to show up." She said, "Try it." So, you know, it started off with them two elderly ladies. "Do you know what? In the past 7 years, that church has grown from 60 to about 1,800. And it's grown from those two people, those two elderly ladies that go in there and pray every morning. There's almost 1,300 people that come in there now and pray before they go to work every morning." Wow. You see, folks, now listen, real quick. If we keep comparing ourselves with ourselves, I mean, I got some T-shirts that I've had for a long time and they're dingy. But as long as I hold those dingy T-shirts up to those other dingy T-shirts, they look pretty good. But my wife went and bought me some new ones. And I picked up one of my good old comfortable T-shirts and I held it up next to that other T-shirt. Oh, it didn't look too good. And you know what? As long as we keep comparing ourselves to ourselves, we're going to look good. But you know what? We need to compare ourselves to a higher standard. Amen. We need to compare ourselves to a higher standard. And that'll jolt us out of some of our complacency. All right, I'm going to end. Go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Real quick. Verse 4, verse 5, and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Let me take you to this. What's all of this about? Possible. Oh, listen. We realize that it's impossible with men, possible with God. We realize that when it comes to those believers, it's impossible to deceive them because God the Father is going to do His parenting business and prevent that. But when we look at Jesus Christ, we realize He said, "Take this cup from me. If it's possible, it was possible." And oh my goodness, death couldn't hold Him. But now let's see what this is all about. Hebrews 10, verse 4, verse 5, verse 10. Look at this. It's verse 4. It says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin." I want to tell you something. He's talking to a bunch of Jews and he's telling them all of the ceremonies you have. It's not going to save your wretched soul. None. Verse 5. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." Oh, how you like that? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had to have a body, didn't he? Go down in verse 10. "But the which will," see how that's worded? In other words, that was God's will, wasn't it? "But the which will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Hey, listen, there's no such thing as getting saved, lost. Listen, God saved you, and God's not going to lose you. Amen. You know that? Listen, I didn't know where I was at, but He knew where I was at. Amen. He knows where I'm at right now. Now listen, folks. Do we understand something? Now listen. So we find then when we look in verse 10, "But the which will, we are sanctified," that's the saved, "all right, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Listen to me. If you're sitting here tonight and you're lost, let me tell you something. If you die without Christ, you'll roast in hell like a hot dog over a fire. You know that? You will. But if you're sitting here and saved tonight, first of all, I want you to understand it was a miracle by God. Because salvation is impossible to men, but boy, it's possible with God, isn't it? God saves sinners, doesn't He? Next thing I want you to see is the fact if you're sitting here and you're saved tonight, your Heavenly Father is going to tend to you in the area of discipline as well as the area of protection. You know that? And then when I look at it and I say, how'd all this come about? Well, it come about because God the Father made a body for God the Son, and God the Son got in, got in that body, and boy, when he was facing the cross, he said, oh, if this cup had passed from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know what? He had a higher calling, didn't he? It wasn't to quit. It was to go on. And that he did. And we're sanctified by the body of Jesus Christ. The only way we'll ever get to heaven is not by the right act of man, it's by the right act of God. You know that?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. You sitting here tonight, are you saved? Are you born again? Are you blood washed, born again? Listen, are you heaven bound? Are you willing to face eternity with what you got? Are you willing to face eternity with a profession of faith that never hungers you for the Word of God? Are you willing to face eternity with a profession that never causes you to grieve because of your lack of prayer? Are you willing to face eternity with a coldness and a deadness of spirit that never stirs your soul toward the lost and dying people around you? Are you willing to face eternity with that? May God open your understanding and show you the truth about yourself. Listen. I'm going to close with this. I cannot change you. You cannot change me. The only person you can change is you. Now, God can change all of it. If he wants to turn us into flies and let us buzz out of this room, he can do it. But the only person that you need to deal with is you.
Amen.
You need to deal with you. Now, you've come here tonight, first night of a revival. Okay? Well, what are you going to do? Is this a spectator sport for you this week, where you're just going to come, sit, listen, get up and go home? Or are you going to make some decisions that'll be life-changing for you, your home, this church, this community? It's up to you. You. Everybody say me. Say it. Me. Say it.
Me.
Boy, it's weak. 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 You know something, folks? Until we're willing to deal with me, what can you expect to happen outside of you? You. It's up to you. All things are possible with God. God can do it. God's tending to you right now. If you're saved, rejoice in that. Jesus Christ took on the body that God the Father gave him, died for you and me. Now listen to me. I can't change you. You can't change me. But you can do something about yourself. Don't you think it's time? Challenge yourself. Let's all stand, if you would, please. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.